The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Russ Mitchell of Dickinson County News and Darren Svensson of KDEC Radio. Russ, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Good afternoon, Senator, and thanks for taking our call.
Yes.
Just a general question for a lot of Iowans. This may be one of the last chances here before you before the election, and because of the national dynamics, some Iowans may be discouraged. What message would you like to leave with them before Election Day?
I like working for Iowans. The two senators from Iowa, whether it was me and Harkin or me and Ernst now, we have to look out for Iowans because nobody else is. I love working for Iowans. I like creating jobs for Iowans like I did with the wind energy tax credit. I like, and by the way, 6,000 or 7,000 jobs. I like seeing that the taxpayers' money is spent wisely, and that's why I got passage of the False Claims Act that's brought $48 billion back into the federal treasury. And then number three is protecting Iowans because from terrorism, because that's the number one responsibility of the federal government. And also economic security, promoting a pro-growth economy, unlike what we've had for the last 8 years, a flat economy. So those are my goals, and I very much I'm going to continue to work for those goals.
And Senator, piggybacking on that question, in a year where the national dynamic is more of a reality TV show than a policy debate, do you find it hard to focus on the work that you have done and the work that needs to be done rather than the outside forces that are forcing the national discussion?
Yeah. The only distraction for me is when people in journalism like you are or anybody else ask me about the presidential race. That's the only time I have to focus on it. So on my own initiative, I try to talk about the things you just heard me say, working for Iowans. I try to serve Iowans the best I can. And so I don't get distracted from my work of being an independent decision maker in the tradition of the Constitution. I'm a legislator. I make the laws. The president enforces the laws. I appropriate money. The president spends it. It's my job to make sure that we move forward with seeing that the president does his job, which would be my constitutional checks and balances of government. And I just do my job, and who's ever president, whether it's Hillary or Trump, I'll have my job. They'll have theirs. When we can work together, we'll work together. And when we disagree, we'll disagree amicably.
Senator Grassley, kind of along those lines, ironically here, you and I talked in one of these 10-minute interviews before the Iowa caucuses, and you had told me at the time that with the candidates who had an elected background, you kind of knew their record, and so you kind of knew what to expect, but you wanted to hear more from the private sector candidates. And now, as it turns out, one of the private sector candidates actually got the nomination. So looking back on that, are you satisfied with the process and how it all played out and how Republicans came to their decision?
Well, I might disagree with how it turned out, and I'm not saying I do disagree, but if I did disagree, it's a fact that I would be discarding what 14 million Republicans thought was their best shot and their best nominee. And if I did that, then I'd be refuting the will of the people and probably refuting a principle of our democracy. So I can't do that, even if I thought so. I don't know Mr. Trump a whole lot more than I did back then. I know a little bit more about him because he's talked more. He gets the focus of attention. But then I get back to what you've already heard me say. When he's running for president, he is a better person for our country from my point of view. than Hillary Clinton, because she lied and lied and lied about various things. And he may not be perfect, but I think I could have more trust for him than I could for Hillary after all the lies. So, you know, I get at it by a process of elimination and knowing what's best for the Supreme Court, because this is an election just about the president for the next 4 years. This next president is going to give direction to the Supreme Court for the next 40 years. So that's where I end up. Now, then I get back to what my job is. I'm running for the Senate to represent the people of Iowa, to work for the people of Iowa, and I've got to work with Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And when we can work together, we're going to work together. And when we disagree, we're going to disagree. And if people don't think that I would disagree with a Republican president sometimes, then they don't know what they're talking about, because I treat presidents what I call an equal opportunity overseer to make sure that they do their job. And I intend to be that equal opportunity overseer.
Related to the Supreme Court, it's obviously been brought up a lot related to your race, Senator. And I'm asking you to speculate here, which is admittingly an unfair thing to do. But should Secretary Clinton win the nomination, do you see any way, shape, or form that a Merrick Garland nomination process could begin in a lame duck Congress? Or is that something that you don't want to go down that road?
Well, I can't go down that road. I suppose you can always be overruled by a majority of the Senate. I don't see that happening. But if it did happen, chairmen serve at the will of the majority of the Senate. So then in turn, I don't expect that to happen. So Garland could be nominated by Hillary Clinton. I know she wouldn't be nominated. He wouldn't be nominated by Trump. But if Hillary Clinton is president, then going according to the stance I've taken, we'll have to process Garland at that point.
Senator, I received something from your office yesterday. It was an update about the EpiPen. It sounds like you're planning some committee hearings to explore that a little bit farther.
Yeah.
What's happened since then? Where are we at with that?
Yeah, in late November or early December, we're going to have a hearing specifically geared to EpiPen having to pay back to the federal government $467 million because they overcharged for Medicare and Medicaid. And our hearing is going to be based on that, and specifically to find out why the Department of Health and Human Services wasn't on top of it and make sure that we weren't overcharged in the first place.
And related to the EpiPen situation, Senator, when you have a hearing like that, how much of the hearing will focus only on the EpiPen issue? How much of it is a little bit more of a general oversight issue, being the fact that the structure is in place that these things unfortunately happen from time to time?
Yeah. I think it's all of the above. Right now, my primary focus will be on just EpiPen. But in the process of my investigation of EpiPen, we've also written letters to the Food and Drug Administration. When is there going to be another generic product out in competition against Mylan Corporation? So that if you have competition, you're going to have probably more responsible pricing. Right now, Mylan's got a monopoly on it.
Kind of related to healthcare, Senator, I've seen that the cost of so-called Obamacare is going to be a lot higher than previously anticipated, and not enough people are signing on to the program, and so it's causing a large number of rising costs. How would you, if you were to advise the next president, how would you kind of untangle that situation?
Well, there's going to be some changes made whether Hillary's elected or the president is Trump. I think that that there's going to be greater changes if Trump is in there. And it's easier for me to speak about what we Republicans want to do away with the employer mandate, the individual mandate, sell insurance across state lines, have very much more emphasis upon a market-oriented health care like comes through the the health savings accounts and have medical malpractice insurance or medical malpractice tort reform.
And related to the Affordable Health Care Act end of things, when can we see something happen? Because the enacting of the Affordable Health Care Act was a multi-year thing and then a multi-month mess. So when can the folks get out of this?
Yeah, there can't be any changes until the new president is sworn in after January 20th. So that'll be the earliest anything can be done. But I think it's going to have top consideration. Now, if Hillary, if you'd asked me 3 months about changes with a Democrat president, I would have said there are none. But these increase in premiums and co-payments are so outrageous that Hillary Clinton's got to defend Obamacare. And I think it's, she says there's got to be some changes. Her husband's been giving speeches about things that are wrong about Obamacare, and even Obama himself has finally said there's got to be some changes.
Thank you, Russ and Darren, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.